The 2023 Formula One season is over, and there was lots to be settled at the final flag.
And they battle all the way to the line. What a bizarre finish as they drive into the smoke from the fireworks. In the battle for P2, Mercedes held on.
At the front, our triple world champion signed off with a dominant victory.
Max Verstappen wins 19 Grand Prix in a single season.
All missions complete. What a year.
Yeah, unbelievable race, guys.
Welcome everyone to F1 Nation. For the last time this year, we'll round up the weekend from the heart of the Formula One paddock. It's me, Tom Clarkson, with Pedro De La Rosa and Damon Hill. And we're going to catch up with Christian Horner, Toto Wolff, Lando Norris, Pierre Gasly, Lance Stroll, Alex Albon and Pat Fry. So a Max Verstappen win, a record-extending 19th of the season. But first, the crucial Constructors' Championship battle between Mercedes and Ferrari went down to the wire, and it went the way of Mercedes. Here's what George Russell, who finished the race in third place, and P2 man Charles Leclerc had to say after the race.
A great weekend, and I'm really pleased to finish on this high because it's been a really challenging season. One, as a team, but on a personal side, just not getting the results that we probably deserve. The pace has been really strong on so many occasions, but just results kept on slipping through our fingers. So, you know, Lady Luck maybe on our side slightly today with Checo's penalty, but I think that more than made up for the other races this year.
Of course, very disappointed with that third place in the Constructors, as that was my only target since two or three races now. It was, until the very last lap, I tried to give Checo's the DRS for him to try and pull away 5 seconds to George, but that didn't quite work out.
Well, in the end, Mercedes P2. By 3 points.
Yeah, they were hanging on there by their fingernails at one time, weren't they? They saw Ferrari doing some mathematics. I don't know if it was Charles's mathematical brain working out whether he needed to do what he did, but he was trying to get Checo further up the road so that he'd get the point because he had a 5 second penalty. And so he was trying to allow him to get far enough away from George, and that would tip the balance in their favour. I'm not sure if it was fair or not. I think Toto felt it was perhaps not a very sporting thing to do, but that's sport, isn't it? That is the game.
And it shows what a team player Charles Leclerc is, and it proves why the team loves him so much.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was incredible, and it just proved that Leclerc is a very clever driver. It proves as well that he's a team player, and that he was, in a way, he was giving priority to the Constructors' Championship rather than to his own personal position in the driver. So hats off for Charles Leclerc. I like this type of maneuver, which didn't work out in the end, by the way.
So that was great. You were just having a photograph taken with some Ferrari fans. There, in a nutshell, was the battle for P2 and P3.
P2, we won P2 today, but it reminds you that you lost P1.
Competitive to the last. But it's how much satisfaction does this P2 actually give you?
It gives me and gives us satisfaction today about the outcome of the weekend, because that was the target. And it's important also for taking these emotions into the off season. But nevertheless, you know, there's P2 sounds good, but there's another team and another guy that won 19 races.
Ron Dennis used to talk about the pain of losing, by which he means maybe coming second, you know, in other words, not coming first. And within the team at Mercedes, you know, you've been used to the success, and there has to have been some changes. We saw Mike Elliott leave. It's painful, isn't it, to change? I mean, but you have to make some changes in order to go forward. Is that a fair summary? Or are you just trying to get more out of the people, or get the people you have to work differently to get the different result you need?
Look, there's no sports team that has won 8 consecutive world titles. And for me, it's been a psychological journey, because you have a great group of people on this mission together. And you grow and you develop, but at the end, you know, are you the same person that you've been at the beginning of 2013? Maybe not, but maybe you're wiser, maybe you have more experience. And I think getting that balance right for us is that's the really difficult task. And we're going to come back, that's for sure. It's just maybe rejuvenating and recreating the unsuccessful organization.
is it a question of finding the fight in within the team, the kind of little pugnacious kind of attacking nature you need? Because it seems to me like you're a very methodical team and very, you like to sit down and think things through and make the right steps. But sometimes it feels like the old kick up the butt sometimes can produce results.
You know, when you look at our record, and you've been there before, since 2013, we finished second, first, third, second. So you look back in 20 years and you look at that and say that that was respectable. You also look back and you look at the Red Bull years where they finished fourth or third, and that happened a lot of time in the last 10 years. And you just got to get the balance right between keeping that, you know, mindset of rational, logical, data-driven work, and on the other side, the emotion and the eagerness. And I think we have both of that. Simplified, we just got the physics wrong. It's not mystical, it's physics that we got wrong. We got out of the blocks in a bad way with new regulations. Red Bull, on the contrary, they done it well, and now we're playing a little bit of catch up.
And Lewis, is he gonna regroup? He always does. He seems to come back. He seems a bit down after this race in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, and no wonder, because it was a really bad weekend for him, and we have to understand why we have these big oscillations, even intra-team. You know, you look at Sainz and Leclerc, one is in the back, the other one is in front row. George, an impeccable race today with a difficult car. Lewis, not competitive, and the same with Piastri and Norris and Checo against Max. Checo is not a second slower, not even 5 tenths slower. But so what is it that we need to understand in these regulations with the tires that, you know, to give them a more stable platform? I think that is the fundamental problem, that when you trust the car, when you're confident in the car, you're quick, even though you're managing the tires. But if you got to push it, you kill the tires.
Now, these cars are very, when they're right, they're very difficult to drive. You know, slow speed corners are not easy. And that's why you get this, some drivers can cope with it. We saw it at Michael Schumacher with the Benetton, you know, that he could drive it, but no one else could drive it. But, you know,
I think that's the case with Max.
Yeah.
When you look at the qualifying lap yesterday, not the onboard, but you look at the TV cameras, and I said it in the session yesterday, it looks slow because he drives that car on rails. There is no slip, not a single movement with the car sliding, not on braking, not on entry, not on exit, nowhere. And that he has unlocked the potential of these regulations with a car that's just very good. Our guys are saying the moment they tap the brake or the moment they turn in, they don't know if the rear is going to overtake them or whether the car understeers. So if you can't build up trust, you can't drive the tires just on the edge of the slip.
Toto, tell us. Obviously, I'm from a competitor's team, but I would like to know a bit for next year. How's the 24 car? What are you? I mean, come on.
He says, you know,
no one is listening to us. Just
between us.
Yeah, between us.
So, you know, it was actually really good that Aston Martin was so competitive at the beginning of the season, because that, at least for us, made it clear that the rear end is not the problem. The gearbox is not the problem. The engine is not the problem. The rear suspension is not the problem. We got to look elsewhere. And that's why I like having teams that are on the same spec. And the second thing is that the step that you made from last year being among the slowest team to the beginning of the season being clearly number two, it shows that if you unlock potential, then you can have a big step forward, not just bolting on a tenth of downforce. And this is just what we need to find. So we're going to make a 2.5 second step like you have done.
Okay. Well, don't forget that Fernando still beat Luis today.
Yeah.
So we can make also a 2.5 second next year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you can. You did it already.
Toto, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the winter. I guess it's going to be busy, and we'll see you in a few months.
Yeah, see you in a few months.
Do you think Merck deserved it, guys?
Did they deserve the second
P2.
Place? P2 in the chat. I think they worked hard to stay there. I think they were definitely run down a little bit by Ferrari, or chased down by Ferrari, who were out to get it. And their car, Mercedes knew they'd gone wrong with their car, and they can't really do anything about it until next year. So they fought very hard. They surprised me a little bit with some occasional races where they had some pace. And they were very good, it seemed to me, in long runs. They seemed to have something right there as well. But overall, it was a tricky car for both drivers, and that's why Lewis wasn't able to get on top of it this weekend and couldn't get a good qualifying. But George was reasonably happy, but also disappointed when he didn't get our front row position at the start of the race.
George, who I might add was really misfiring. I don't know if you spoke to him after the race, but the guy could hardly talk. He certainly can't laugh without coughing. I learned that during the press conference. But this was a significant race for him, I felt, because Lewis Hamilton was out of the picture. He qualified 11th and never really found his way back in. And so the onus was on George, and he rose to the occasion. And I feel going into the winter break, that is going to do a lot for him, a lot for his confidence.
I think it's an important race. You know, when you end up the season on a high, I didn't know that George wasn't feeling well, but it has to mean a lot for him because he performed at a very high level. I was really, really impressed by George all season, but especially at this race, how quick he was on the last sector. You know, corner turn 13, 14, all these low speed corners, he was very fast. In fact, I thought that he was going to be on pole position for this race at one point. And it just proves also that the Mercedes team, I think, extracted more from a slower car than Ferrari. The Ferrari had a faster car overall. They don't forget that the only team that actually won one race this season, apart from Red Bull, was Ferrari with Carlos in Singapore. So I think that Mercedes has done an outstanding job with a difficult car to drive.
But I think you could say the same about Ferrari.
I think so. I think they at least didn't seem, well, they had a period where they thought they were on the right track as well. They didn't seem to have quite the woes that Mercedes did, but then of course we're measuring Mercedes off the back of their total dominance of the sport for many years, many seasons, and so Ferrari have always been one of the teams trying to get back up to where they have enjoyed success in the past, and I think they've done an incredibly strong job. And of course, as you pointed out, you know, Charles is what, 5 pole positions he had, and he's qualified in the front row again here in Abu Dhabi. So the pace of the car, at least in Charles's hands, is very good, and also, you know, Carlos did some amazing races as well this year, but they just haven't, no one's managed to find the magic trick to beat Red Bull, whether it's Mercedes or Ferrari. And let's be honest, if those two can't do it with their resources, then I'm sure Aston think they probably can eventually. McLaren, of course, have sprung up from being right on their back heel as well. So we've got some incredibly tough competition, but no one as so far has worked out how to stop Red Bull.
I feel that these teams are going to have a bit of a shock because I think they all think the Red Bull is really easy to drive, and it's clearly not. I was chatting to Daniel Ricciardo, actually, it's going to be a future episode of Beyond the Grid, but he says at low speed, the Red Bull is not easy to drive, and Max has said that himself as well. So there's no magic bullet. I think even if they improve their cars massively over the winter.
I think, Tom, that obviously the Red Bull is not an easy car. I mean, that's for sure. And I think that Checo's performances prove that point. However, I don't think that any car in the grid is easy to drive nowadays with the ground effect, because all these cars with speed move the aero balance forward massively. So you will never have a perfectly balanced car in low, medium and high speed corners. You will always have, like if you are aiming at high speed balance, you know, you will have a very understeery car in medium and slow speed. So it's never going to be perfect. And that's where I think Max is especially strong in adapting to a difficult car to drive in any type of track, in any type of condition, the wet, dry or semi-wet, dry. So I think that he's just proved to be a very, very special driver. We are talking about one of the best drivers in the Formula One history. That's how good Max Verstappen is.
Let's move on then to the battle for P4 between McLaren and Aston Martin. Pedro, you're a very good person to talk to about this. What is the mood in the camp after that P5 finish? What are you, 22 points behind McLaren at the end of the day?
Yes, well, I think that we're just stable. You know, we are very, very proud of the season that we've had. Let's not forget that we have achieved 8 podiums. We never achieved one last year, so it just proves the amount of, you know, the leap forward that we've done in terms of performance. We finished the season on a high, really, after Sao Paulo, because there were a few races where we were a bit, you know, trying different parts, especially for 2024, and finishing on a high was important for the morale of the team, and also for the development of 2024 car. So I think all in all was a fantastic season. I feel very proud to be part of this team and having joined. I always say the same. You know, everyone says, you've been very lucky to be in with Aston Martin this time of the, you know, this time of 23. And I said, yeah, I've been very lucky. I have nothing to do with the performance of the car. I wouldn't have joined if I wouldn't have had seen the potential of this team, the amount of investment that's going in and the amount of the talent that there is.
What about the inconsistencies that we've seen this year? There's no hiding from the fact that you started really strong. And then after the summer break, okay, we forget the Zandvoort podium, but after the summer break, it was difficult.
It was difficult. I think that we should never underestimate how much other teams improve their cars. At the beginning of the year, you didn't have McLaren. McLaren was not in the equation, so you had two positions there that were not taking points away from you. And I think that was critical, the amount of development that was brought by other teams, into especially the latter part of the season.
Lance Stroll is with us now. We're just reflecting on Aston's season. How do you look back on it?
It's been a season with some highs, some lows. I think we came out of the box really strong. First few races, kind of, you know, the surprise of the winter, really. And then we had a little bit of a slump, you know, halfway through. And some of the other teams, you know, that didn't start off as strong as us, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, managed to kind of get the upper hand on us, halfway through towards the end of the season. But I think we came back a little bit stronger the last few races and, managed to kind of grab a good haul of points, which was a nice way to finish the season. And unfortunately, just missed out on that little fight with McLaren there at the end, but they had the quicker car today.
Good momentum to carry into the winter. But look, we can reflect on your season now. Can you be honest with us? Show us your wrists. How much did...
They're working. They're good.
But how much did they set you back, really, at the start of the year?
A little bit, for sure, at the start of the year. You know, missing testing and all that. And then the first few races being a lot of pain. But I actually still felt like I was in pretty good shape. And, you know, when you have a kind of car that's competitive under you, you know, that's worth more than broken hands. Like, in a way, I mean, it sounds stupid, but... Actually, you know, I felt, you know, we came out of the box really strong. The car was feeling good. Wrists weren't 100%, but then, yeah, we definitely had that kind of tough time in the middle of the season. But like I said, happy that we got to finish the season off on a pretty strong note, I think, you know, picking up some points the last few weekends, some strong results. And more importantly, as a team, finding some more pace in the car, which was good.
Lance, you know, have you got a new clause in your contract? No dangerous sports at all, or are you still going to carry on doing stunts?
You can't do no cycling.
You
can't
do racing. No. But I tell you what
I'm definitely, Damon, to answer your question, going to be a little bit more wise this coming winter.
So that's interesting, because actually...
You live and you learn. But hey, I didn't miss any races,
you
did
didn't.
I?
You didn't.
Right? There you go. Isn't that all that matters? Come on.
And also, Kelly Slater's just opened a new wave pool here in Abu Dhabi.
It's not open yet. I'm blaming it on you if I go there and I'm kidding.
Have a great winter. Well done. Well done. Thank you for that.
He has been flying the last few races, you know. Okay, there have been races where they have been difficult and we've been at the back, Mexico, Austin, you know, starting from the pit lane. But he's been incredibly fast, and some races definitely faster than Fernando. And this has impressed me from Lance. His capacity really to improve, to learn, and to grow stronger. And today was an example of that, you know. He was a qualified P13, he finished P10, and he was catching the group in front, so it was a strong finish, definitely.
He has actually shown some real metal, actually, this season. I know he had a bit of a slumpy bit, but...
Was that a pun, showing some metal after his...
He's got some metal. But he showed that he's determined as well. And I think with him, I get the feeling that he needs to find a cause, a purpose, you know, a real reason to want to drag that thing out of yourself. You know what it's like, Pedro, you know, when you really, really badly want something. And I think he's had an experience like this where you suddenly saw your dreams of being a Formula One driver maybe snatched away. And it makes you think a lot harder about what the value is of this opportunity you have in your life.
Lando Norris is with us now. So, season done. 1 point off Fernando and Charles. Feeling pretty happy?
As happy as I'm going to be, yeah. I think from how much we've turned the season around, I have to be happy. But if I'm fussy, then of course I wish I ended the season ahead of Fernando and ahead of Charles. But also in my head is, if you're not first, you're last. So I'm not too bothered, but I was fourth or sixth in the championship as a driver. I'm happier for the team that they finished fourth and ahead of Aston.
Thank you.
But that's our main target, right? That's what I'm here to deliver on. And then if I can end up having a good result as a driver, then that's a bonus. But no, it's been a great year. So I'm happy with how things turned out, especially from how we started.
We've had so many races this year, 5 in the last 6 weeks. Finally, we can all take a deep breath and feel a little bit demob happy. How does it feel as a driver this particular moment now?
I mean, it feels great. It feels great just because I know we have some good things coming. And, you know, we've had a great year, but we know that we can do a lot more. So at the same time, like, I don't want to stop driving. I love doing it. I enjoy it, right? So I wish I could continue, but at the same time, I want the break because I know we're going to come back even stronger next year. So I kind of want next year to hurry up and get here already. But we all need a break. It's the mechanics and the engineers, you know, they're the ones who have families. I don't have a family, so apart from my mum and dad and my brothers and sisters, you know, but they're the ones who travel even more than what I do. I'm home more than they are, so they're the ones who need the breaks, not me as a driver, not us as drivers. So it's more deserved for them, it's more needed for them, but I'll enjoy it at the same time and, yeah, try and forget about Formula One for some time.
What was missing in your car to actually win a race, you know, because there were races where you looked like a real threat to Max.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what Brazil and Qatar were the main places. Suzuka was not too bad. What is it? It's small things, you know. It's not even like it's half a second a lap. It's one and a half tenths a lap maybe that we need to find. So,
Downforce efficiency or
no? In my opinion, it's a little bit slow speed performance, but also drivability of the car. For us and Oscar and myself, we find it. You have to drive it in such a particular way. And when you're at like 99.9%, it's amazing. But when you go 100, game over. And when you're 98%, game over. We're not quick. So you have to drive it in this perfect little range, but it's too difficult.
Lando, great to chat. Enjoy the break. And we'll see you very soon.
All right. Pleasure, mate. Thank you very much.
So McLaren won the battle with Aston Martin in the end. As Lance Stroll says, they had the faster car this weekend. They've actually had the faster car since the Austrian Grand Prix. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, I mean, it's not a big surprise. Obviously, we fought until the very last moment. But after the start, when there was no incident, you knew that if there were no DNFs from their side, it would be very, very difficult. We needed not only 11 points. I mean, we needed 12 points because they had more seconds than us, so better results. So, all in all, they've done a better job. Congratulations to them. And we just have to come back stronger next year. It's incredible the amount of lap time they found over the season, especially since their upgrade in Austria and then Silverstone, I think it was. They've just made the car faster and faster every race. And I think they've won the development race this season.
I am fascinated, though, about the development and how it is affecting the car over one lap in particular, because Lando Norris has now made mistakes in 4 of the last 5 qualifying sessions. And he was beating himself up on Saturday evening here for the same reason. He thought he had a car that was good enough for pole. And of course, he made that mistake in the final sector. So guys, what is your observation of Lando Norris in that car, in qualifying in particular?
Well, he's under pressure, isn't he? From his teammate, from Oscar.
So do you think he's just overdriving because of
possibly,
that pressure?
You know,
is that the reason?
Possibly has to, because there's a lot at stake being out-qualified by your teammate. I mean, don't detract from the fact that if he thinks the car's going to be on the front row, he wants that. So the teammate may not be a factor. But in any case, you know, you only make mistakes when you're pushing yourself over the limit. The speed is there. And we saw in the race that Oscar admitted that he couldn't really hang on to Lando in the race. And he's still got a lot to learn. But, you know, he's feisty and a good competition, a good foil for Lando. But Lando does not want to be out qualified, so he's having to maybe I'm wrong on that actually. Maybe, what do you think, Pedro? Do you think I think that
what is costing him is the shadow of his first win. You know, he's pushing just because he deserves that first win in F1, and he's just not driving with that timing, needed timing. Well, that it will come to him. He has the quality, it's no problem. But I think that he just needs to pace himself at one point in during the weekend. There's always a point that he's overdriving. I don't think he's under pressure from Oscar, in the sense Oscar is very good. He's always, obviously there a strong teammate, but he doesn't seem fazed by him. He just has this anxiety about, I need to win, and I want to win
but
quickly.
But you know what, it stings when you've been driving for a team and a new guy turns out and he wins it. Okay, it was a sprint race, but it's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the guy who's been most determined and most loyal. You know, so those things go through your head a little bit.
So Lando is probably going to be, if I've understood what you're saying correctly, he's going to be one of those drivers, when he gets that first win, the floodgates could open and we could just see him gain a whole new level of confidence, and we could, lots of wins, lots of great qualifying. So it's nothing specific to the car.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Lando on Friday made the same mistake in the same corner, with his run with the soft tires. He goes into qualifying and he did the same. And it's just unfortunate in a way, but it also proves that the guy is overdriving, over pushing a bit. Why is that? I believe it's because he wants to win and win quickly in Formula One, but that car also has, it's not a Red Bull either, you know? Let's not forget that it doesn't have the downforce or the top speed. In any case, we are talking about a great driver. I mean, Lando Norris is a blow of fresh air, really. You have a great driver in the UK.
And I think the Aussies have a great driver in Oscar Piastri as well. Phenomenal rookie season for him. First guy since Lewis Hamilton in 2007 to get multiple podiums in his first season. So McLaren, I think, have a lot to look forward to, and well done them for securing P4. Moving on to the battle for P7 between Williams and AlphaTauri. Williams cling on by 3 points, and we've got their chief technical officer, Pat Fry's, with us now. Pat, how much of a shot in the arm is it for the team to cling on to P7, first of all?
Well, I think it's great for everyone, you know, the effort that's gone in all year. I mean, I've just turned up for the last three races. But you've had a very immediate effect,
which is rather good.
Well, other than they haven't scored any points in the last three races and did all the work earlier, so I guess you could say I haven't done that well at all. But, you know, credit to everyone's effort throughout the year. I mean, it's your classic thing, isn't it? You know, it's the championship is across 23 races, not just the last one.
Hello, it's very exciting times for you and for the team, because you've been there, 3 weeks now? Just tell us what you've found at Grove and how it compares to everything you've done before.
When I go into a place, it's always, you know, you try and soak up as much as you can in the first couple of weeks. I've got such a bad memory, I have to write everything down and try and, you know, work out what's good, what's bad. Looking forward to next year, you know, I'm quite excited. I mean, the work they've been doing, and that, you know, they changed the way they're working through this year, and there's some really good collaboration going on, and things are looking pretty good.
One of the things James Vowles has been saying this year is that the facilities at Williams aren't up to scratch, and that the team has got a lot of catching up to do. Is that what you found?
We certainly have a lot of catching up to do. You know, some bits of the company are, if anything, you know, better than where I've come from. There's other bits that, you know, you could say are 15, 20 years out of date. So, you know, we certainly have got a lot of work to do. And, you know, it's not just the machinery or the tools as such. It's also the methodologies we use to actually design a car. So we need to be thinking about all those and, you know, trying to move to the 21st century of actually designing things.
Pat, we'll let you get back to your dinner. Thank you very much. Well, let's bounce straight from Pat Fry to friend of the show, Alex Albon.
In all seriousness, do you get the other drivers or is it just me?
Only you. Alex, you're sounding a bit bunged up.
I am. I'm very sick. I've been... I think there's been a bit of a cold going around the paddock since Vegas. So the last bit of energy I had is gone out of me. And I think just with all the travelling, everyone's been getting sick the last race.
It's definitely been a long, hard season. But you've clung on to P7. That must give you great satisfaction.
Feels super, super good. A turning point was when others keep bringing upgrades and you just start to feel like you're the one hanging on. And that's been the kind of last few races was just like, you saw the performance of AlphaTauri getting quicker and quicker, and you're just looking at it like, whew, you know, hold on, and survival. And I think we've done just enough the way that we've finished P7, but still put a lot of effort into next year's car.
And on your own performance this year, Alex, are you pleased with how you've evolved, developed?
I am. I don't think I've changed so much, but I also feel like I've gotten more experience with the team, my second year with the team. It's just been a year where there's been very few mistakes and we've executed everything very well. I've also just gotten more confident in my feedback, in the direction I want the car, the driving. And yeah, you know, I think, honestly, this year's been my first year where I've truly felt comfortable. You know, I've always been kind of surviving. And this year, I finally can say that I've been able to think about and truly enjoy the year itself.
Fantastic. Well, look, you've done a great job. Alex, thank you so much. Get better soon.
Thank you very much.
So Yuki Tsunoda became the second Japanese driver ever, after Takuma Sato, to lead a Grand Prix, all five laps of it, here at Yas Marina. I thought he was very controlled. I thought he drove a great race.
I thought he was one of the drives of the day, because he managed a one-stopper. And to manage one-stopper, having Fernando at the beginning of the race all over him, managing the tires and the pace, it was a really, really impressive drive from Yuki.
I was saying during the race, they will be going bonkers in Japan right now. They will be hopping up and down, because it's such a thrill for them to see their drivers and in Formula One, and then to lead a race. And they knew, they would have known, but it's not going to last. But even so, to see his name up there, be
on Fran Tost farewell. No, he was leading
gift,
a race.
A little gift to France. What a wonderful send off for France. He'll be in tears, won't he? I mean, he's a hard man, though.
I think if he cries, it will be in an office with no spectators.
No one.
I mean, we all know France. He tries to be very cold, but we all know that he isn't.
Well, the team tells me that he is actually much more emotional about this than he's letting on.
I know Franz well, because he was managing Ralf Schumacher when Ralf was racing in Japan. So
when you were racing in Japan?
Yes,
Ralf was.
And we spent some time with Franz together. We went one night to Tokyo together. And we went out together, you know. And he's a funny man.
He's a very competitive man. And if there's one thing about this team in the last 18 years that he's been in charge, it's he really wants it. He really wants success for his young drivers, of which there have been 17 passed through the team during his time in charge. But also, he wants success for his team. He's not just going to be the junior team for Red Bull Racing. He really wants it.
Yes, and I mean, one thing about Franz is that I've never seen someone that works so hard, really. His life is just being behind the wheel of his team, of AlphaTauri. He's left his life there. And he was the same in Formula 3. He was the same in Formula 3000. He was always extremely, extremely committed. He was so committed that once I banged into him in an airport in Helsinki, in the toilet. He didn't realize it was me, you know, and we were just next to each other. Obviously, you can imagine the place. And I said, Franz, it's me, Pedro, you know, and the guy just raised his eyes and said, oh, sorry, you know. He was already thinking about the setup of the next race. That's how Franz is. He's in his own world.
In his own world, but he, you know, gets into work at 6 a.m. He still runs every single track, and he's 67.
I remember him because I drove with Ralf as well. So Ralf was teammates with me in Jordan. And yes, we were going to try and get Ralf, because Ralf was very kind of insular and didn't want to kind of fraternize, I think. Anyway, so we were trying to get him to come out for a night out in Canada. And Franz Tost stopped him, because I think he was his manager, and he basically thought, if he goes out with them, he's going to get into trouble. He won't be...
That Damon Hill.
Yeah, so...
Pierre, we're just waxing lyrical about Franz. I think you've come down to see him. Yeah, one sentence, Pierre Gasly.
Unique character. I think there is no one like him, so... Yeah, well, on my side, I'll miss him, because he was the spine of Toro Rosso. And now they will have to recreate a new dynamic, but wish him all the best.
Have a good winter. Thanks, Pierre. It's exactly what you were saying. He is the spine of this team.
Very well put by Pierre. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So I guess Pierre is going in for the farewell party, if we can call it that.
Going on inside here. And we haven't been invited. Wonder why.
I hope it doesn't involve dumping him in the harbour or pouring kind of custard all over him or something like that. Because you never know with this business. He could end up in a wheelie bin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and of course, Pierre Gasly, one of the two race wins that the team has had under
Franz's stewardship, the other one coming from Sebastian Vettel. So, Franz, we're here wanting to say goodbye to you. I think you're being put into a wheelie bin as we speak, so we can't speak to you directly, but thank you for everything. And the sport will definitely miss you.
Absolutely.
So we just walked past Haas, and one of the stories that came out this weekend was that I think it was ABC or CBS or someone
CBS.
Like that. CBS are going to do a series based around Günther Steiner as a character. So we know he's a character anyway, but they've decided he's such a character that he really should be immortalized in some TV comedy series. So I'm looking forward to seeing that when it comes
gonna
out.
It's going to be great. It's just like The Office.
He is someone who can be characterized, I think, or caricatured and turned into some sort of comic kind of trope of some sort, which I hope is, you know, flattering to him. I hope he likes it.
It's been a frustrating one for Haas, Damon, hasn't it? Coming home P10. I thought Nico Hülkenberg was a little bit critical of the team earlier in the weekend, saying that they need to have a serious look at the way they go about developing the car.
I'm sure it's difficult with someone like Nico, who's been in a few teams, to see how they operate. You know, there is a frustration with being with a team that is limited on resources and limited on history, if you like. So I know they've been around for quite a few years, but even so, they started off looking at Formula One as a business that they could go about differently to the traditional teams that like to make every single part themselves. So they've kind of come at it from a... Remember, they were criticised for kind of being a kit car, in a manner of speaking. They weren't, but they were using bits from Ferrari and bits from here and there, and so they weren't actually building it in-house. So there was a criticism that they weren't serious in that way. But from there, how do you know? Eventually, you do have to take control of your manufacturing process, and that's a huge investment.
A topsy-turvy day, lots of overtaking on track, lots of action across the board, but it's always going to end the same way in Formula One in 2023. Max Verstappen out of the final corner for the final time. Max Verstappen wins 19 Grand Prix in a single season.
Max, very well done to you. You've ended the season as you started it in Bahrain 9 months ago with a dominant win. You looked untouchable out there. How sweet was it?
Yeah, it was, of course, a good race. I mean, the first thing, I didn't really know what to expect because I didn't do a long run, so I probably took it a bit too easy in the beginning, but I guess that was better than trying to push ahead and destroy the tires. So took a few laps, but then I think also the meeting was just not as good as expected. So then we had to pit because I saw, of course, everyone around me also pitting. And yeah, on the hard tires, everything felt a bit more normal, a bit more easy to manage with the temperatures. And yeah, basically I could extend my lead lap after lap. And yeah, it was pretty straightforward. I think for not having done a long run, the car felt quite decent out there.
You said you were taking it easy in the early laps. That wasn't the case when Charles was right up next to you.
No, of course. I mean, the first lap, you cannot take it easy. So,
tell us about that battle.
No, it was good, I think. Yeah, we raced well. I didn't expect Charles to go on the left into turn six, but it was a good move.
Can Charles Leclerc do anything now? He's right in the wheel tracks. No DRS at this stage, but he's forcing a defensive shape. But this is for the lead of the Grand Prix, and Charles Leclerc's going to take it. Side by side, they go once again, only momentarily. Once again, Verstappen's bravery on the brakes keeps him the lead.
He just will never let it go. That's what defines him as such a fighting, feisty world champion.
Charles also had to think about the championship, you know, for the team. So, yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that.
And Max, your lights to flag win means you've passed 1,000 laps led in a single season. Proof if it were needed of how untouchable you've been this year. Does that stat impress you?
Well, I knew it was on the cards, of course, going into the race, and also from the engineering side with the strategy. We wanted to, of course, try and plan it in a way that I wouldn't pit too early. So just wait for others to pit. Of course, to try and achieve that, it was maybe not always the fastest strategy, but I wanted to stay in the lead, of course, to get the laps in.
And so ends your record-breaking season. When you've retired from racing, Max, many years down the road, what will you remember most about this year?
I think just the team spirit, not so much the wins or the whatever poles or laps led. I think just the enjoyment we had as a team. The wins are great, of course, but I think it's also very important to have a good atmosphere in the team and have a lot of fun. And just the people that you work with, there's a lot of smart people in the team. And I also know that whatever you do in motor racing, I think it never, you know, will top that. So, yeah, just seeing everyone at work trying to do the best they can, you know, every day and give it all, you know, out there for you. Yeah, that's really nice to see.
We've come down to Red Bull to end the show. And actually, there is a lovely moment. Toto Wolff is currently hugging Jerry Horner, Christian's wife. Christian and Toto are having a laugh. Given the rivalry between these two teams over the last few seasons, I haven't seen this
even
before.
Even Damon is taking a picture of the moment. You can sense the relaxation after the, you know, the checkered flag has gone down. The people come out of their motorhomes, hospitalities, they want to meet each other. Mechanics are chatting between teams. And you are doing all the these things, sort of things that you haven't done during the whole year. And it's great to see as well. And no, they're hugging now each other, so it's...
That's the picture you want, Damon. The two of them hugging.
I've tried to get it. So that is a lovely moment. There is Jos and Christian and Toto and Jerry and they're all outside the Red Bull and they're having a good old laugh about things. And underneath it all, and all the stuff we hear and stuff, the rivalry and the needle is the respect. And it's that is so heartening to see
it,
that.
Heartwarming is a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, because it's otherwise it is whipped up into this kind of bitterness and just for the sake of a story. You know, underlying it all, these people are fighters and sportsmen.
Christian, that was a lovely moment.
When Jerry smacked his ass, I thought it was wonderful.
But how often has that happened in the last 3 years, you and Toto get together like that?
It's not happened very often. So I was just inquiring if he'd had any texts off Jos recently.
We're walking out of the paddock for the final time.
Well, actually, we're walking down to see Franz Tost for the final time. So we're going to wish Franz a fond farewell. I'm sure he's going to come to a race or two. I mean, he'll get withdrawal symptoms.
Well, that, I was saying to Tom, that was very, it was heartwarming and heartening to see you having a laugh with Toto there. Well,
you know,
outside
life's
Anios,
too short
you know,
at the end of the day. It's just a sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's competition on track. It all has to be put into perspective sometimes.
Christian, it's been a phenomenal season. Look, I just wanted to ask you one more question, which is years to come, 10 years down the road from now, when you think back to the 2023 season, what is the one abiding memory for you?
Just the whole team achieving a level of excellence that I've never seen before. And you know, sometimes you get sporting phenomenons, and I think this has been one of them, where Max has just been on a different planet, but the team has really stepped up across all the different challenges that these different Grand Prix circuits give you, and the conditions and everything that goes with it. And it's throughout the whole factory, from the receptionist to the drivers to the, you know, all the support services, the marketing guys, the designers, the technicians, the engineers, that have all played their role. And I think it's just everybody will look back on this. It'll take a moment for it to sink in, just with huge, huge pride.
And I guess that'll start to sink in Baku at the FIA prize giving. Look, Christian, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. And have a good off-season and a good Christmas. And I'm looking forward to next year's suits, Tom.
Good. I thought we'd get a reference to that.
Give our regards to France, because we couldn't get in. Obviously, it's a private party. Yeah, and it's no, only it's friends and family only.
VIPs only, mate. You wouldn't make the cut.
Ciao.
So the top 10 looked like this. Max Verstappen ended the season by taking win number 19 of 2023. Charles Leclerc was second, his sixth podium of the season, and George Russell stood on the podium for only the second time this year in third place. Perez dropped to fourth after his five-second penalty, and then came the McLarens of Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri in fifth and sixth. Alonso was seventh for Aston Martin, Tsunoda equaled his best result of the year in eighth, Hamilton was ninth, and Stroll rounded out the top 10 in 10th. Here's how the top 10 in the driver's standings looks after the final race. Max Verstappen ended up with 575 points, 290 ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez. Lewis Hamilton was third on 234 points, and then it's close. Alonso and Leclerc both have 206, with Alonso finishing ahead by dint of having more second place finishes.
Norris is 1 point further back in sixth, with Sainz seventh on 200 points. Russell ended up eighth on 175, Piastri was ninth on 97, and Stroll was 10th on 74. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull on 860 points end the year, with more than double the tally of second-place Mercedes on 409. Ferrari a third, just 3 points further back on 406 points. McLaren a fourth on 302, 22 points ahead of Aston Martin in fifth. Alpine a sixth on 120, and then it gets especially close. Williams a seventh on 28, 3 points ahead of eighth place AlphaTauri. Alfa Romeo are ninth on 16 points, with Haas 10th on 12. Lastly, let's look at the final standings in the F1 Nation World Championship, our F1 Fantasy League. After a season where the lead was constantly changing hands, our winner took the lead in Qatar and held on until the final flag in Abu Dhabi. It's TJGP67, the first F1 Nation World Champions. Huge congratulations to you. Time to call Gene, finished the season in second, and right at the end of the year, we had a new team in P3. Dex Double DNF Delight snatches the final place on the podium. Huge congratulations to our top three. And as for our team, well, we were a bit off the pace. 975th in the table, more than 1,000 points behind first place. I feel we've got a lot of work to do over the winter. But it's the taking part that counts, is that right? Thank you to everyone who played with us, and of course, F1 Fantasy will be back again in 2024. Here endeth the season, 22 races. It's been a phenomenal one on so many levels. Pedro, what is your take home from 2023?
It's been a fantastic season. We've had a great champion, one of the best in history, and it's been an absolute pleasure to see him drive, because I think above all the most incredible thing about Max is how he's managed to drive the car without getting, you know, just his steering inputs are really smooth. He's not getting nervous. He's managing the races, the distances on the first few laps, not overheating the tires. I think that I haven't seen him make a correction the whole year or lock a front tire. You know, that's how well he's been driving. And there haven't been easy races. You know, there have been many races that started dry, then they went wet, like Monaco or Zandvoort, and he's kept his head cool. So, all you know, I think we've witnessed a massive driver driving at his best.
Damon, for you?
I can't add to that, really, what Pedro just said. You know, we're all drivers. We all look at someone like Max, and we all look at the opportunity he's got with a car like that, but he's used every last drop of his skill, and he's got every last drop of performance out of that car. So all congratulations to him and respect. And he smashed every record. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's broken, the records he's broken this year.
He's won in one season, a thousand laps.
He's won nearly my career total in one season, but not quite.
You still got him on that. Well, I agree with both of you. Max has been brilliant. I've loved seeing Fernando Alonso get back to form and show us just how good he is. I love seeing Lando Norris grow. There have been so many subplots away from the Max Verstappen story, but that, folks at home, is the end of F1 Nation for the year. We have absolutely loved bringing you the show. It's been a great laugh, hasn't it?
It's been fantastic, Tom. Yeah, and it's been great with Pedro, and also Natalie is not here at this race meeting, and the guests we've had on have been great. So it's been lovely talking to F1 Nation, all the people that listen to us around the world, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys, working with you, with Natalie, and thanks to all our listeners, really, you know, because
the show is nothing
I'm
without
just
them.
Impressed that they've managed to listen for that long, really. Thank you so much.
And before we go, quick shout to the production team back at home, to Karen, to Jamie, to Chris. This show couldn't be brought together without you, so thank you very much for everything you do. But that's it. We'll be back in the new year. But for now, thanks for listening. And F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.
I know that.